Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Can't we be sweethearts? Why don't we fall in love right from the start?
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
Oh, can't you see? You're the only girl.
In that, it is open mic to mic day at 1-800-449-8255. I will let you dictate what you'd like to talk about. Topics of the week included everything under the sun and then some. Of course, the big story today just popped up from CNS News. China has dumped 97% of their T-bill holdings. Shall I repeat that for those of you who are the Kool-Aid drinkers known as Democrats? China knows something you don't know. China knows that Obama's a fraud. China knows Obama's a drunken sailor on home leave. China has dumped 97%. Let me repeat that for you. Democrat fools. China knows something that even you don't know. China divests 97% of their holdings in United States Treasury bills. But why should that bother you? Nice, handsome young man in the White House travels to London, drinks Guinness, goes over to France, eats snails, continues on his way around the world, comes back and gives you a snow job. What more do you need? After all, you have a progressive in the White House. Isn't that all you need? If you want to talk about that, call somebody else. If you're one of the individuals who thinks that jobs should consist of those that come with name tags, hairnets, and funny hats, such as those that you saw in Wayne's World back in the 1980s, then you've got the right man in the White House. 50% of the jobs in May came from McDonald's hiring. That's including those of you with college degrees. But then again, what'd you learn in college other than how to have a good time? I don't blame you for having a good time, but now it's time to pay the piper. 1-800-449-8255. What do you think of my new website? That's right. MichaelSavage.com has a complete facelift. I wouldn't say something completely new. In that sense, we still have the only site in the business with pictures on every story. But we had it redesigned. It took us over 6 months. If you like it, let me know. If you don't like it, let me know. If you like something new on it, let me know. Incidentally, Wiener has pulled out. That's right. The Wiener has pulled out of a speaking engagement in Wisconsin. And you know who we're talking about. It's the Wienergate story. He withdrew. Wiener has withdrawn. Wienergate continues. Wiener's Democrat friends have abandoned the congressman. I know it's not a big story, but it's about as legitimate as any. The man is a certifiable. I think he's certifiable, truthfully. In my day, the most he could have run without family connections, Wiener, maybe. Let's say, I'm talking in my age bracket, before things got out of hand where virtually anybody could do anything because they said they could and they reinvent themselves. A guy like Anthony Weiner, in my day, I'm thinking now, I want to be liberal about this and kind to Anthony Weiner. Given what I see about him, the kind of schmendrick he is, let's put it to you this way. It reminds me of a guy we knew that we ridiculed in high school. Everyone picked on him because he was kind of naive. And it was almost embarrassing to pick on him because he didn't even know he was being picked on. Now the guy's picking on himself and doesn't even know he's picking on himself. And yet here is a sitting U.S. congressman who in the middle of the Wienergate scandal says, I don't want to be talking about my wiener anymore. I want to be talking about the disparity between the rich and the poor. I want to be talking about extending health care to all. That's what I want to be talking about. Do you see what else came out today? This is unbelievable. The Congressional Research Service, don't get bored, released a publication, which I have in my hands. I have it in my hands. Foreign assistance. This is foreign aid to countries that hold U.S. treasuries. In other words, people that we're borrowing from, we're still giving them foreign aid like it's the 1950s. Did you hear this story? Mister, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you have any idea Hillary Clinton is certifiable? Do you have any idea the State Department should be eliminated as a department? It should be eliminated, just eliminated, period. We don't need it. What does the State Department do except undermine U.S. interests around the world? The State Department consists of lobbyists for foreign governments so that, I'll give you examples so you don't think I'm making it up. China holds most of our debt, correct? We still gave China a total of, I have the numbers right here, $27 million in foreign aid, okay? Brazil, we gave them $25 million in foreign aid. Russia received $71 million in foreign aid. Thailand received $2.75 million. That's nothing. It's enough for the hookers for the CIA to go over there. Let's see who else. Thailand. No, I'm mistaken. I take that back. Thailand received $2.75 million for counterterrorism. That's for people in the terrorist business to go over and get hookers. I'm sorry. The Thai government entirely got $16 million in foreign aid. Ireland got $17 million. We don't know what for. To study the potato? India. India is eating us for breakfast. We gave India $126 million in foreign aid like it's the 1950s and they're a third world country. I swear to God. Mexico. Mexico, overrunning us with illegal aliens, was given $316 million. Turkey, $8 million. All right, they you can buy them cheap. Poland, poor Poles, they got $2.1 million. It's frightening. They only gave the Poles $2.1 million. Okay, the Philippines, what'd they get? Total in the Philippines, $128 million to the Philippines. That's a big number. Now, if you break it down, I have it broken down, by the way, from the report. Most of the money, by the way, goes for HIV/AIDS work in these countries. Colombia, how about Colombia? You glad to hear we gave them almost $500 million? The nation of Colombia, not Columbia University, was granted $461 million in foreign aid. Colombia now. Some of it went for the rule of law and human rights. Now, what does that mean? Why would you give a country money for the rule of law and human rights? That means lawyers from NYU and Columbia get to go over there and go to houses of ill repute on federal money and eat in the best of restaurants. Chile got $1.3 million cheap, nothing. Egypt, I'm afraid to read this to you. Egypt was given $255 million to make sure the Muslim Brotherhood can get clean skull caps and new copies of new prayer rugs. Malaysia was given $2.2 million, nothing, chicken feed. The bottom line is, did you hear what I just read to you? Do you have any idea how insane this story is? Why should we be giving foreign aid to countries that are lending us money? How is this possible? Now, not all of the countries I just read to you lend us money, but certainly China lends us money. Why are we giving them money for foreign aid? All right. I could see already went over there with a Tucson. Martha, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hey, I think your website is fabulous.
You like the new design of MichaelSavage.com?
Oh, you're way above. And I also think you're a prophet. Whenever you speak or whatever you say, it's just wealth of gems.
I am a prophet. The only people who don't know it are people who know me.
Oh, I knew you were a prophet.
See, my audience knows me to be somewhat prophetic. I have a prophetic streak in me. There is prophecy in my DNA. But the people who know me don't see that in me because they see the humanity and humans can't be prophets. So therefore, they dismiss me.
Oh, no, I knew right when I heard you. I started listening to you in March of 09. I'd never heard of you. When I heard you and started listening, oh, I live around just listening to you every day.
Oh, that's sweet, Martha. Now, Martha, without indulging myself with this, what was the most prophetic thing I've ever said?
Just your insight as to what's going on in these last days.
All right. In other words, just the ability to look through things and see them as they are is for you the equivalent of prophecy in an age of obfuscation. Let's put it to you that way.
Yes.
In an age of obfuscation, the ability to look through issues and see them as they are and express them succinctly is the equivalent of prophecy.
Oh, right on. Especially.
See, only I could say that. All right. Thank you. You helped me elucidate my own my old self. The only one who appreciates me is Teddy. He really knows how good I am. So what else is in the news? More Americans think economy will never recover. Let me go to my website. We know that Weiner pulled out of the speaking engagement in Wisconsin. That was smart, finally. He learned to shut his yap. One thing he couldn't stop for a few days. I'm on michaelsavage.com. The pictures are awesome. I mean, really, I got to tell you, this is frighteningly good. If I didn't know me, I would make this, I put it in my Weber, my browser, whatever, my eyebrows. If I didn't know this was my site, I would put it on my eyebrows. Take a look at the lead picture on my website and tell me you don't believe this is the most attractive picture. It's amazing. Okay, michaelsavage.com, top left. China has divested 97% of holdings in U.S. Treasury bills. Now, it is on other sites, but take a look at the picture Art Moore found for you. Take a look at your friendly Chinese military officers behind Jing Dabu, who the president is standing behind. On the top right, there's a picture of not your Uncle Max, but Karl Marx. And it goes with a Gallup poll. It says 71% of Democrats favor redistributing wealth. You hear this? Below it is a picture of Mao Zedong. And the article says U.S. aids countries holding billions in treasury securities. ACLU attacks Christians. Judge blocks prayer and orders jail for anyone who prays at a graduation. You hear this? I tell you what I would do with the ACLU. If I had the power, me. Here's what Michael would do with the ACLU if I had the power. First of all, they'd all be arrested, day one. They're guilty until proven innocent, like I am in England. Only in this case, they really are guilty. That's number one. Number two, their assets are seized, and anyone who's given them over $1 million a year for the last 5 years is immediately incarcerated and convicted of crimes against you. I've never seen anything like this. Why does the ACLU hate Christianity so much? Why does the ACLU have such a vendetta against crosses and Christians? You say, well, no, they're against religion. Have you ever seen them attack anything Jewish? No. Have you ever seen them attack anything Muslim? No. Have you ever seen them attack anything Buddhist? No. Have you ever seen them attack anything Hindu? No. They hate Christians. They're Christophobic psychotics. Now you see, I blew it already. I got mad. Now you understand why I'm banned in Britain. Obama's assault on free speech is up on my site still. Let me go to the bottom of the site so I don't get mad. There's generally less anger-inducing stories on the bottom. Okay, in the bottom of Michael Savage, would-be Chilean terrorist accidentally blows himself up. So there is a God in heaven. A suspected anarchist in Chile has been seriously injured, blowing off his arms and his hands and losing an eye as he tried to blow up some innocent people in a shopping mall. So there is a God in heaven. The white shift out of Philly. From the Philadelphia Inquirer, a man says, I like to park and I don't like gunshots. Richest Israeli found dead in his apartment. The most beautiful cars of Le Mans. You take a look at the 250 GT. I tell you, it's a knockout. Chinese cook obsessed with Jewish coins. We're not talking about tips from Jewish patrons. It's a very interesting story from the LA Times that I found this morning. The headline's rather deceiving. It says, Chinese cook obsessed with Jewish coins. Not that he gets tips from Jewish, patrons of the restaurant. He's obsessed with ancient Israel, coins of ancient Israel. You understand that? And finally, as a lead to today's story, and this is a sad story from South Africa, again, linked up on my website. In South Africa's black townships, being gay can be fatal. Now, what's paradoxical about this story is that during white rule of South Africa, gays were never picked on. By and large, gays had total freedom during white oppressive evil rule. But now that it's become African rule, blacks are being rounded up and killed in gay nightclubs and elsewhere. Go figure. How does that work? I'll be back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I'm in a very, very interesting mood. I have no idea what it is, but it's interesting because I don't know what it is. I don't know whether I'm happy. I don't know whether I'm sad. I'm agitated. I know that we have a stooge in the White House who's destroying the world, but okay. Arab Spring, you hear this? Who would believe that the Arabs could ever spring into liberation, the liberation of a democracy? Who in their right mind would believe this? Play Jerry Vale, will you please? I'd rather hear Gennaro Luigi Vitaliano than Barack Hussein Obama. This is so Catskill, so Atlantic City. Where are the men today? Where are the male singers? I don't mean the crotch rubbers. I don't mean the guys with the pants hanging down with the crotch rubbing who curse everybody and use the F word in every other lyric. Where are the balladeers? Where'd they go? Every song you hear in a department store is a whiny chick song. You go in a dressing room, I can't wait to get out of there. I go to shop at Macy's to buy underwear, I can't wait to run out, I feel like I'm in a madhouse. Every song is some crying chick over something that happened in a nightclub with another woman. Jerry Vale, amazing song. Stop for a minute. The reason I remember this song, There Goes My Heart, excuse me, it's Rock and Roll Friday, so I can drift for a little. I'll tell you why I'm thinking of this. Because my father loved this song, and just before he died of a heart attack, this was his song, There Goes My Heart. Would you believe it? In fact, there was talk about putting it on his tombstone. No, but it was too... It's very sad. I mean, the whole thing and a personal thing with a family. And I'm a little excited in a way. I could share this with you. I have so much to tell you that I shouldn't, but I will, because this is almost like a confessional in some ways, up to a point. I mean, I'm not crazy altogether. But my microphone is your confessional, meaning what you do in a church. Let's say you're Catholic and you go and you talk to a priest. Father, I sinned because I blah, blah, blah. Yes, okay, you're forgiven. Okay, I basically come into the radio station, and I talk into the microphone, and before long, I'm telling you things I regret that night and can't sleep. And the next day, I come back and do it again. And I've been doing it for 16, 17 years, and it works. How does that work? I guess that if you bait your hook with your heart, the fish will always bite, as someone I didn't know once said. Michael in New York on WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Michael, I wanted to address for a moment the idea that you've got a prophetic gift, and I have always believed that you do, and I wanted to bring one example up. A number of weeks ago, you were talking about having a dream, you may remember, about Jesus of Nazareth, and you mentioned the trial with the Sanhedrin and how a few of them said yes and another bunch of them said
yes.
No, and they were
yes.
In collusion with the Romans,
yes.
And blah, blah, that was the end. That was the end of it.
Yeah.
Up is because any man who stands up and speaks the truth and who stands up fearlessly and doesn't need anyone and lets
stay on the line, stay on the line, because I don't know where you're going with that dream. I remember I... It is the Savage Nation. So it's open mic to Mike Friday. I mean, we got some very heavy news out there. 97% of our debt has been dumped by China. That just came out. That doesn't bother you, Democrat morons. They know something about the stooge in the White House that even you don't know. You still think he's the savior of America and the world. They know the man is a drunken sailor. They know that because he won't rein in the spending, we are, let me use a liberal word, our economy is unsustainable, okay? It's an unsustainable economy with the social spending. Get it through your thick, stupid liberal heads. The money has to come from somewhere. All right. I made my point. Do you have Nick Apollaforte, Luke Canova character in Broadway, Danny Rose, that song yet? How about Gerardo Luigi Vitaliano singing There Goes My Heart by Jerry Vale? I need a little levity. I'm sorry. We did that already. Knock it off. Let's go to the callers. Where's the gentleman who was calling from New York? Is he gone? Dory in New York, welcome to the show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, people have been calling saying that you have a prophetic side, and I agree with that. You sound prophetic many times, but I wanted to add that on top of that, you have a very large amount of common sense. And when people have common sense in life, you can apply your common sense to anything in life, and because you apply it, you can figure things out in advance. And by doing that...
And you hit the word... The words you just used are the most important. Figure things out.
Exactly.
Figure things out. Because most people have trouble figuring things out.
What's going to happen?
Yeah. That's right. In other words, that's very interesting what you just said. In other words, if you can figure things out and say this is going to happen using common sense and logic, people would say that's prophecy, but it's really you're just applying reason and a historical knowledge of situations before it that are similar to make a prediction. So if you're right, they call you a prophet.
Yes, and you have the ability to do that and do it in such a easy way.
I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to show you. When I first started in radio 17, 16 years ago in San Francisco, I'll never forget it as long as I lived. I shook up the entire radio world from San Francisco around the country. Nobody had ever heard anybody like me. And one of the things I said in the first few weeks or months was that the United States was on a course to become something like Portugal if they did not change course. Well, the local newspaper ridiculed me, and they said, Michael Savage, a new guy in radio, some right-winger, says America's liable to be, is on the road to becoming like Portugal. Was I more right than wrong, or more wrong than right?
You were always right, because you don't read the headline only. You read the article and in between the lines, and that's what people don't do. They just read the headline and move on.
Well, that's certainly true. Well, I thank you for being such a loyal listener, especially on a Friday when there's so many other boring things that you could be doing other than listening to me. I mean, the world is horrible out there, I got to tell you. You know, it's a very boring world. I know that that's almost a crime in America to say it's a boring world, because we live in a, I don't know how to put it, like an age of boosterism. My whole life has been you're supposed to improve yourself. You're supposed to entertain yourself. You're supposed to get your body better and your mind better. Every day is supposed to be somebody better and this. Why? It's exhausting. But when you actually go out, what outside your life, outside your own world, is interesting to you? I don't know. Maybe there is entertainment. I don't go to events. Most people can't wait to get a ticket to a basketball game. I know people in L.A., smart, intelligent, rich people. They can't wait to go to the Lakers game. Oh, they love the Lakers. I don't know why. The last basketball game I went to was in Jamaica High School. And between the sneakers squeaking on the wood and the goons throwing the ball and the stink from the crowd, I never went back. What? I don't understand it. I went to a ball game last year. I have a normal family. They're not like me. They go to things like ball games. They love sporting events. In fact, my son took me to the Indianapolis 500 a few years ago. I actually enjoyed myself despite myself sitting down there in the pit. Well, I love cars. See, cars are another story. When that B-2 bomber did a flyover, I almost fainted from joy being an American. I mean, the problem was we weren't using the planes. We were just showing them off. We're still not using them on the right targets. They're still being used for no reason. They were 50 years ahead of their time, the B-2s. Have you ever seen a thing like this? We're down there in the stadium before, I never forget, before. It was on a Memorial Day about four years ago. The whole family flew out because he sponsored a race car. So we're in the pits. Just before the race is whatever, warming up, I don't know, the crowd looks up, and before you heard it, you saw it. You didn't hear it coming. This is a B-2 bomber. I can't imagine what it must weigh. 100 tons? I don't know the weight. No noise. A stealth bomber appears right over the stadium in Indianapolis. The crowd breaks into God Bless America. Everyone is jumping up from little old ladies to Hell's Angels, and we all love being an American, you know what I'm saying? Now we wake up to this nightmare of a communist, Marxist, anarchist, socialist, con man in the White House, and we find out that China, which held our debt, just sold 97% of our T-bills. So how do we deal with a thing like this? You have to understand that part of the problem is that we have a media that is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the government. There's a guy on MSNBC named Chris Matthews, who I've affectionately called Softball for years. Slurring, I believe he's making statements that you would hear from a grandfather that you put into an old age home, who they wheel out from behind a curtain every once in a while, and when he turns around, he starts cursing you. This is what he's starting to sound like. Chris Matthews is starting to sound more and more like a grandfather in an Alzheimer's ward, who when you go in to visit, they turn him around in the chair. And the minute he starts to talk, he's drooling on himself and he says inappropriate things. He says anyone who calls Obama's economic policies European is a slur. Can you believe a man would say a thing like this? The man is crazy, by the way. But look, that's General Electric for you. So I was telling you why I'm in a strange mood. Did you find the Luke Canova character, Nick Apollo? Almost got it. I'm ad-libbing until I get it. The reason is this. Okay, it's June already. June 3rd, San Francisco has had the wettest month on record. We have a summer already, like a nightmare. Cold, you need sweaters. Now, I've told you I love this weather. But at a certain point, I don't love the weather. In other words, a little sun wouldn't hurt. One weekend, I could do without a rainstorm. We've had rain and rain and rain and rain. And after a while, it starts to get old. So to make a long story short, it's summer. Most people I hear, if I go somewhere, they're going to go here, they're going to go there, they're planning a trip. I overhear in a restaurant, I almost ran out yesterday listening to a woman. I couldn't wait to get out of the Vietnamese restaurant, and we're going to go to New York, and we're going to stop in Times Square, and I couldn't take it. What did I have to hear about her trip for? I gagged on the noodle soup and ran out. I said, put it in a container, let me out of here. So I don't go out for that reason. I can't listen to people. It drives me crazy. So most normal people are planning vacations. That's what you do if you're normal. You take a two-week vacation, whatever, you think you enjoy yourself, and you come home with a nice new flu or a nice poisoning from a Spanish cucumber, and you think you had a wonderful time here in the emergency ward because you took a trip, and then what you get on the plane on the way back is even more beautiful. A nice 12-hour flight back from London, the infections that you pick up on the airplane, a wonderful, great thing to take a nice trip today. So I don't go anywhere. It's not that I'm a germaphobe. It's like, what's waiting for me, I say to myself. You want me to go to Italy? I go to the North Beach restaurant. You want me to talk to the Italians? I talk to Lorenzo. You want me to see an Italian church? I go to St. Peter and Paul and walk through the park. You want me to go to France? I go to a French restaurant and not eat there. I walk right out. You want me to go to Greece? I go to a Greek restaurant and walk right out because I don't want their cucumbers. But at least I know. In other words, I don't need to go anywhere. I have a cosmopolitan city at my feet, correct? What have you not seen that you're going to see in another country? Tell me about the art. You can't go online and see it? Oh, I know, in person it's better. I understand that. Well, I can put it in another way. Let's say I watched the movie Patton. You're telling me World War II would have been better in person than watching it in a movie called Patton? I mean, you know what I'm saying. I didn't want to be in World War II. I'd rather watch the History Channel. It's the same thing with European art. I don't have to go there. Secondly, some of the great art comes through our museums anyway. Moreover, if I go to the museums here, I can see Rodin's sculptures, which are unbelievable, and some of the great paintings of the world. We have a Picasso exhibit coming up. He's not one of my favorite, but he's pretty damn good. So therefore, the world comes to me. I don't have to go to the world. So to make a long story short, I'm not making plans this summer. But the reason I'm telling you this today is, A, it's Friday, and B, I think you'd be interested. My whole family, which is a very small family, is coming out this summer to visit us. I mean, we're arranging the whole thing. Everyone's coming. It's the first time in about forever that we've all gotten together. We don't do this. They're on the East Coast, and my small family is on the West Coast. Everyone's going to be together, and we're all staying in the same like place in the house. I have a country house that's very empty and a large, and we're all going to stay there together. I'm going to cook one meal. We're going to go to a restaurant one night. We're going to go on my boat one day. I have plans. Each night, a different restaurant. I figure by the third night, there'll be at least one person who doesn't come to dinner. I think by the fourth night, there'll be at least three people who were insulted by something either subtle or overt that they think they heard. They'll also get a headache and not come to dinner. And I figure by the sixth night, I'll be dining alone again. Let's hear the song right now. Let me hear the song.
Day you will hold my caramilla. A child of your own. And I pray.
Love it.
Bambina, remember.
This is Nicola Pallaforte as Lou Canova, the character in Broadway Danny Rose. Remember that character? I loved him. Come on, go for it, Nick.
Keep a Italian in your heart. Let it always be a part.
Is this beautiful or what? You know, like, it's not high class enough for you. It's not San Francisco.
Never let it fade away. Be a part.
Got a person with a meat hat on, with a hat with hamburger hanging from her ears.
Forever.
The older women love this guy, apparently. They cry over him. I don't even know if he exists, truthfully, but I wish I could sing like this. All right, thanks, Nick. Nicola Pallaforte, incredibly talented man. You know, every man has a song in his heart. The thing is, can you get it out of you is the question. You know that in my day, every man sang? My father would sing. Men sang in those. What happened to men? They won't even sing. The song has died in the American male heart. It's died. It's dead. There's a million reasons why, but men sang in my day. Would you believe it? Just ordinary working men sang. I don't mean they walked around singing like in a Disney cartoon. But from time to time, when they were younger, I recall my father singing. I don't know what that's... Where did it all go? Where did the singing go? My housekeeper said to me, you know, I heard your show yesterday, Michael. She said, I really liked your show. And she said, you were asking what you should do in addition to radio in your spare time because you're a little bored and you're looking to know what to do. And people were calling in with ideas. She said, I've told you many times, why don't you take up singing? She said, you could be a wonderful singer. Now, that's a very interesting idea. But I'll tell you what I think I'm going to do. I'll take your calls on this. I will not do a speaking tour, by the way. I do not do speeches. I've been invited around the country. A, I don't travel. I don't travel well, and I don't travel at all. Very rarely do I go anywhere. And if I do, I just go to a house I have on the East Coast once in a very rare while. I don't do speaking tours for a number of reasons. So I'm not going to do that. But you know what I'm thinking of doing? You want to hear this? I think many of you will freak out when I tell you this. You ready? take a deep breath, because I've hinted at it before. I think I'm going to do like a Church of All Faiths once a week in some big auditorium somewhere in the Bay Area, of all places, in the atheistic San Francisco area. I'm thinking of like leasing a large hall and doing a Church of All Faiths, or whatever you want to call it, and all are welcome. And I'm going to do a Bible reading, and then I'm going to do an interpretation of the news events of that week as expressed in the Bible. And that's all I'm going to do. We're going to have a very simple service, and it's going to be, in a sense, not related to any particular religion, and it's going to be worshiping the one God, period. That's all there is to it. If that's not good enough for people, I can't help it, but that's the way I see the world. What do you think of that idea? Yes, no, should he do it, should he not do it, ba-ba-ba-ba-boo. Robert in Virginia, welcome to the show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. For years I've listened to you and thought, God, what would I say to Dr. Savage the day I get to call him and talk to him? I have so much respect for everything you've had to say until now. You just made an off-the-cuff remark about Picasso being very good. Oh, my gosh, I think I've lost all respect. We just had the exhibit from San Francisco come here to Virginia. I thought it was terrible. I thought it was terrible.
All right, okay, I'm not going to say what's wrong with you, but what is it that offended you about Picasso?
I don't know if it offended me, but certainly I think art is one of those things that should please you when you look at it. But for me to look at it...
Well, hold on a minute. Hold on now. So let's start with what you consider to be great art.
Well, certainly the Impressionists. I have to say, I guess I'm partial to the Impressionists.
All right, so you got stuck on Gauguin, Matisse, Monet, correct?
I don't know about stuck, but certainly pleasing to the eye. Looking at a Picasso with a woman with a big foot and big hands.
Right, but here's the point. There are millions of people who would disagree with you, and beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Both of those statements are absolutely 100% verifiable. There are millions of people, if not tens of millions of people, who would disagree with you. And there are tens of millions of people who find Picasso's art stunningly insightful and gripping. In other words, great art. Now, you can't say all of them are crazy.
It's like my caviar theory. I think most people don't like caviar. They're just too embarrassed to say in front of other people, oh, I don't like caviar, because they're afraid.
Well, what if there are people who do like caviar?
I know. So maybe I have some stretch with that, but I think people are afraid to be looked down upon by the arrogant elitist saying,
you're saying only elitists like Picasso? I liked Picasso when I was 18 years old. I was hardly an elite. I was a strap hanger going to a job as a welfare worker. I thought his work was amazing.
Well, I have to say, the exhibit that just came to Virginia from San Francisco was limited. There were only 176 pieces.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he's my favorite, but let's start with what Picasso did that was so remarkable. And I'm not an art historian, but I'll give you an average educated man's view of it, okay? You just brought up a picture of a painting of a woman whose foot is coming out of her ear or something, right?
Right.
Okay. It shocks you because the image unto itself looks like it's a crazy man's image. It's not real. It doesn't make sense to you, correct?
Correct.
So what was Picasso trying to portray with a picture of a foot coming out of a person's head? He was painting in what period, around 1918, 1920, in the 20s? Is that more or less as his best period? Yeah, the rose and the blue, whatever we learned in college. But he was painting when the world was changing from that of the calm, together world that was known before his period of time. In other words, the world was a more stable place before World War I. But during World War I, the atrocities that were seen, body parts blown off people, millions of people killed for no reason in trench warfare, chopped up by machine guns. The world was swimming in red blood. The world did not understand why there was so much carnage in World War I, and it forever changed the world. So he captured the subconscious psyche of his times. That's my interpretation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn, and a king. I've been up and down and over and out.
Pirate, a pauper, a pirate, a pauper, a pauper.
Each time.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. My Way is a great tune. I really love that song. So we're talking about, you know, news that you're not interested in, like the Chinese dumped 97% of our T-bills, and Obama's giving away money to countries that we're borrowing money from. That's all. And Hillary Ryan flies around the world and gives out hundreds of millions of dollars, like it's the 1950s Marshall's plan, like, we're still rich. Yes, my little third world peasants, come to Aunt Hillary and we'll write you a check. Where does she get the money from? So then we went from that to some this, some of that. Wiener pulled out of a speech he was going to give in Wisconsin. That's news. And we asked, what should Savage do in addition to radio? And my friend Dr. Sarfati just emailed me. He said, do movies, TV, reality show, write more thriller novels. Probably, yeah, you're right. I could do a walking tour, you know, but that's like too below my pay scale. Like you buy like a tape, and I go around North Beach, San Francisco, and go to point number one, Columbus and Gurney. On this very corner, Allen Ginsberg met Barney Frank. They went into this alley, my thriller. Here's the thing: I got a lot writing on the thriller coming out in September from St. Martin's called "Abuse of Power." You could look it up and see what it's about. It's pretty amazing. It's putatively based upon a top-flight TV journalist who is smeared by a group that looks very much like something funded by George, somebody that you know, and the villain's name is Soren, okay? I think you can put three and two together. He loses his job because of the smear, and he goes back to working on a local station, and then he gets involved in some phenomenal anti-terrorism work. You've never seen anything like it, and a lot of it is fiction. In fact, it's all fiction, and nobody should confuse anybody with anything. Just because there's a 10-pound poodle named Eddie in it doesn't mean it's at all related to my dog, Teddy. And just because many scenes occur on a 59-foot Grand Banks in San Francisco Bay, do not confuse that with anything real. All of it is fiction, the entire book. If that book does what I think it's going to do and is translated into the languages I think it will be, and it becomes a movie and we sell it to the right studio and I control the screen rights, because I'm not going to let them butcher it. It'll change things for the better.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Leave a couple of lines open for prophecy. It is Rock and Roll Friday. We move into the second hour of the Savage Nation. For those of us who just joined us, what did I just say? For those of you who have just joined us, look what's in the news. My God, it's getting crazier by the day. Crazier by the day. A kid in China sold his kidney for an iPad. Did you hear that story? It's so sad. It's unbelievable. Was it in China the kid did this? Well, all right. What are you going to do about it? I mean, these kids just, it's the poverty, the tragedy of it. Then China dumps 97% of our T-bills, but you don't care about that. You think Obama's the savior. That's all. You still are so sold on him because he's the Messiah. I mean, you talk about Reverend Moon. Oh, Moonies, you don't like Moonies. You're no different than people you criticize. Most of you liberals criticize Moonies when, in fact, you're worse than Moonies. Do you understand what I just said? You actually believe Obama's leading the country, number one, he's doing a good job? He just got voted down on Libya, number one, because he's violating the Constitution. Number two, China dumped 97% of the T-bills because they know that the guy is out of control. Why would you buy T-bills from a country that's bankrupt? What? Hey, did you read what's going on in Athens? Remember we were talking about Greece yesterday, and a Greek called, and he said, you're not being fair to the Greeks. They're not lazy. They just don't have any jobs, and we had that discussion. I read an article today from the LA Times that was shocking, which is once considered one of Europe's safest capitals, Athens has now become a city of fear. Greece's debt crisis, shrinking economy, and surging unemployment have transformed Athens, once considered one of Europe's safest capitals, into a city of fear. But you have to read the whole article to get the real truth. You see, it was written in the LA Times. The subtext is the criminal illegal aliens are killing and robbing middle-class Greeks. And now the nationalists are fighting back. So they're calling them ultra-nationalists and everything else for defending themselves. The article is fascinating. Manolis Kandaris' wife was in labor, and he wanted to get her to a hospital fast. So he reached for the car keys, fetched the video camera, and dashed out to get his clunky Citroen running. He never made it. As he sprinted to the car, muggers attacked him about a block from his apartment. And when he resisted their attempts to wrench the camera from him, the 44-year-old pharmaceuticals executive was stabbed to death. So there's the Greek, right? His wife found him lying in a pool of blood as she hobbled to the car with the help of a mother. She was taken to the maternity ward. He was taken to the morgue. Long prided as one of Europe's safest capitals, Athens is cowering in the shadow of harrowing crimes and lawless rampages. Now listen to the next paragraph. Within 24 hours of the Kandaris killing, a 21-year-old man from Bangladesh was stabbed to death in what police suspect was a revenge killing. The following day, mobs of so-called ultra-nationalist youths, meaning Greeks with balls, bolted through the center of Athens, battering scores of illegal immigrants. 3 days later, masked youths, enraged by a police beating, no doubt a police beating of I don't know which side that is, firebombed a precinct in downtown Athens. They say that right now, Athens is so devolving that it's starting to look like Beirut in the 1970s, which of course refers to a rash of killings in the Lebanese capital that preceded that country's civil war. So that's what's going on as a result of a downturn in the economy, unemployment, and illegal aliens who have swarmed over Athens. You got to understand, until rather recently, Athens was a homogeneous city. Most of the people were Greek, and most of the people looked like each other. And then over the last decade or so, because of the flood of illegal aliens, you have people coming in, some of them good, some of them bad, but many of them now turning to crime and stabbing who they think are the soft underbelly of Greek society, which is the middle class. And as a result, you have so-called ultra-nationalists, meaning, as I say, Greek youths with a spine, if you want to put it in a more family-friendly way, who are standing up to the hordes of illegal aliens. That's what's going on in Athens right now. I linked it up on michaelsavage.com. It's aggravating, the story, because it's a microcosm of what's going on here. It's identical to what's going on in America. Sacramento Thomas, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing, Dr. Savage? I just wanted to let you know that I think it's a great idea for you to open up a center for people in San Francisco to go get some spiritual advice from you. I think it's a fantastic idea. I think you're a prophet, sir. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Well, that's interesting. There's a lot of controversy as to whether I should do anything ever live. And that is because of the haters out there and those who would destroy those of you who are calm and peaceful and loving who would come to such an event. I don't know that I want to put you through it. You know what I'm saying? Here's my friend Dr. S again saying, you never have to be live. You should walk around the city with me or someone else using video phone on you, and it streams live to your millions of audience, or they get it on their phones, computers, etc., whenever they wish. People have approached me to do that, and I probably would enjoy that very much. Which, you know, like my take of things around the city, because I see things in a unique way. It's not that I know the city better than anybody. Everyone knows things their own way. But I do know San Francisco in a way I think that's very, very unique. I see things in my own way, whether it be not just restaurants, and certain corners and certain statues and certain observations and the way I look at things is my way, okay? So I think I would enjoy doing that. But that, let me explain what I'm talking about. I want to do things with people live. I don't want a virtual world anymore. I want a live world. I really do need to now reengage life in a more direct fashion. I was the kid who was on a – when I was a kid, I was the shortstop on a baseball team. You don't know that about me. I was never good at it. I mean, as a kid who played ball. But I was the guy everyone liked. I was the shortstop. Everyone liked Mike. That's all there was to it. Then I got older. I got more morose. I became more and more like withdrawn. I mean, I think, some amazing things in the world. But as I did so, I started to withdraw more and more and more from the world in order to give things to the world. It's a strange paradox, because I think that the more you're attached to the world and the more you're in the world and the more you relate to the world on a daily basis with people, the less you can actually do. I think you actually have to be detached from the world to give the world anything. I don't know. It's just a thought. It's not 100% true in all cases. I don't know how many real artists need to socialize on a daily basis. Sure, the Hollywood schmucks need to walk around and pose and posture with their the Hollywood girlfriends. Good luck to them. But what are they actually producing? They're marionettes. They're marionettes I enjoy watching. I mean, I enjoy marionettes. I saw a movie the other night, by the way, on TV, another one. I'm sorry, I like to watch movies at night. I apologize in advance if it offends your sensibilities, but it was a movie from 2002 that was directed by John Malkovich called The Dancer Upstairs, and it was about a South American revolution, anarchist revolutionaries being tracked by like a detective, a police detective who used to be a lawyer, and he wants to do something more important than being a lawyer, so he leaves the law and becomes a policeman. It's an astounding movie. It captures the heart and soul of the left wing in this country just perfectly, incidentally. And if you think that Obama's minions are any different than those bombers, you're crazy. They're just lying in wait. You know, these people, the Bill Ayers, that crowd, they haven't gone away, my friend. They have not gone away. They've just got big, fat government grants and jobs. Whether it be Van Jones or all the others that you don't hear from anymore, they're living high on the hog, okay? And so they don't have to do any more bombing. They become the very people they claim they hated. But remember what I just said to you. They have not gone away. And all the violence associated with the left wing in this country is now state violence. All of the violence that was conducted against the people during Bush's presidency by the radical left wing has disappeared, hasn't it? Why? You haven't even asked yourself why. Where are the fire bombings and the burnings and the protests and throwing trash cans at police and into McDonald's during meetings? They don't do it anymore because they're all working for Obama. And now they're inflicting their violence upon us in a far more dangerous way than throwing a can through a McDonald's. They're throwing a can through the middle class. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Together right now
over you.
Well, we are all together, aren't we? We're all Americans stuck with an administration that is so out of touch with reality. We don't know what to do. We have a Democrat machine that is so corrupt and degenerate that we don't know what to do with it. You got Anthony Weiner with the Wienergate thing. The guy is a psycho, certifiable psycho. He's so bad that even his fellow liberals are dumping him in New York, which is actually a good sign. Then you have the Chinese dumping T-bills. They sold 97% of our T-bills. You wouldn't know that from your local paper. I guarantee it doesn't make it to San Francisco, where people live in an absolutely unique bubble of stupidity like I've never seen in my life. Most of the news that you know to be true, they don't even get. It's not published in the local paper. You pick up the local San Francisco newspaper. You know what the lead story was yesterday? PG&E says it needs more time for a welding report. They don't even tell you that Obama was voted down on Libya today, including by his own fellow Democrats, because the man is a dictator. Like Junior Dr. Valier. I mean, this is what we have now in the White House. We have Junior Doc. The guy doesn't like a democracy. He likes absolute and total power. This is how all leftists are. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Lord Acton. He knew what he was talking about. He wasn't a prophet. He was an observer of humanity, particularly of the political class. Obama typifies what Lord Acton said. Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Look at what it did to Nancy Pelosi. Take a look at what it did to that woman when she had that gavel, what she did with it. The woman was a walking Mussolini with a gavel. And she boasted about her power as Mussolini. It was shocking to watch this woman gloat in her power as she jammed through Obamacare through illegal means. Jammed it down our throats. 70-80% of the American people were opposed to Obamacare, and they made it federal law. Against the will of the people, this is a democracy when you have a hypocrisy running the country? This is not a democracy. We're going to have what they have in Athens very soon if this keeps up. But all right, I'm only a talk show host. I'm not a politician or a revolutionary. I don't lead a band, nevertheless a constituency. I give you one man's opinion. That's all I do. Just that it's one man's opinion. I have absolutely no power. That's all. I shift around from vitamins to politics to dogs to kidneys Wienergate, whatever it is you want to talk about. It's open mic to Mike. Oh, what did I want to ask you? Here, I left some lines open for this. I was trying to get to this all day, but my mind skips a beat every once in a while. People said, oh, Savage, you're prophetic in some ways, okay? I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to call this show right now, and I want you to ask me to give you a prophecy on a specific topic. Let's try that for 1 minute. Then you can nail me to a cross if it doesn't come out to be so. I'll put myself out on a line. I'll do what others don't dare to do. I'll make a prediction, which you'll call a prophecy. Ask me what's going to happen about X, Y, or Z, and if I can. I mean, it may be that I can't. But if I can compute something for you from I will do so, okay? 1-800-449-8255. This is Michael Savage. Kyle in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, doctor. I wanted to say that if you do the Church of All Faiths idea, I think that would be a great deal. I would come from the Napa Valley to see you live absolutely any day of the week.
I think a lot of people need this right now. They don't go to synagogue. They don't go to church. The flocks have disappeared. You know, you go by churches here in the Bay Area, and you know what you see? They're full on Tuesday nights with sex maniacs going to Sex Anonymous. They're full on Wednesday nights with Alcoholics Anonymous, with people who are trying to get off the juice. And on Thursday nights, they're filled with junkies who are trying to get off junk. So in that sense, churches are doing a wonderful job for society right now, but no one's going there to pray, by and large, not in this area.
And I was raised Catholic, you know, and I've stopped going to church, and I mean, I think it would bring a lot of people back to it. And
what would you, as a lapsed Catholic, hope to hear from a church, a universal, let's say, service that I did on a Saturday or a Sunday, a Church of All Faiths?
I just want to hear an unbiased, you know, Bible readings and interpretations, like you were saying. I think that would be great. And, you know,
in plain English, in other words, I pick up the Bible and I read the portion of the Bible for that week, and then I interpret it from the point of view of the politics or the events that are happening in the world. As simple as that.
Right, as simple as that. I think that would be great because no one does that. And I think you could do an epic job of doing
that. Well, the reason they don't do it is because they say they try to keep politics out of the churches for the non-profit reasons. But you know and I know most churches are liberal. You know and I know that 99% of liberal synagogues are 1,000% liberal politically. And they don't keep politics out of these places at all. Their bias is in almost everything that they do.
Right. They keep us out of us out of their politics, but they definitely don't keep politics out of the church.
Incidentally, there's a very good note that I'm so happy to report. It just happened an hour ago. The ACLU, together with that psychopathic, pimple-faced moron, Barry Lynn of the atheists, whatever he is, sued I think it was a high school or a college in Texas, and said you cannot say God. You cannot pray. You can't make any reference to the Bible in an invocation. And they won. They got some psycho judge who said that if anyone makes reference to God in the graduation ceremony saying, thank God, they will go to jail. That's what the judge said. Guess what? He was just overruled by the Fifth Circuit. The judge should be defrocked and derobed. He should be derobed, stripped of his robe. I don't really want to live in a country where psychopathic judges can do this to us. I am so tired of two discontented fools who get up and say, I don't want to hear anything about God, therefore no one can say anything about God in this church, in this ceremony. I'm sick of it. I am sick of living like this under the activism of these liberal judges. I'm sick of it. Okay, I've made my point. I don't have to beat it to death. Here's a call for a prophecy. Marla in Virginia, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mr. Savage, I'm calling to find out from you, will Sarah Palin and Sarah Bachman go head-to-head when it's all said and done for the election?
Wow. Now, that's more a prediction than a prophecy. I would predict that Romney is going to run, and if Romney had any sense, and I'm not so sure his advisors do have much sense, he would pick Bachman as his vice presidential candidate, and he would be swept into power.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. You know, it's funny. We got a lot of callers on the prophecy thing where I say, okay, ask me to prophesize on a specific topic. And I'm getting people calling with specific questions like predict the price of gold. That's a prediction. That's not I can't do prophecy on that. How do I know what the price of gold is going to be tomorrow? I assume it's going to go up and up and up based upon the fact that They're not even printing money anymore. You understand what Geithner's doing? They're not even running the presses. They're just saying that they digitally transferred funds to something else. There is no basis to the currency anymore. It's fantasy. How'd that paper currency idea work out, Richard Nixon? Ask Richard Nixon. I'll never forget, I was a young guy, I didn't really understand a lot. When Nixon took us off the gold standard and he opened the doors to China with the Metternich of our time. You know who the Metternich of our time is, don't you? The most diabolical man of the century, Henry Kissinger. When he did that, I said, wait a minute, this is crazy what Nixon's doing. How do you call that republicanism? This doesn't make sense. It's just nuts. All right, let's go to the callers. Abe in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Will Israel be in existence in 5 years from now? The state.
I'm sorry, you asked me if Israel will still exist 5 years from now.
The state of, yeah, not the people.
Not the people, but the state of Israel. That's a very intriguing differential. I think by your question, you're giving somewhat of an answer, aren't you?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
So instead of playing Talmudic riddle with you, you're suggesting that it will not be here as a nation. It will only be a land, another Mediterranean land, which has lost its homogeneity as a Jewish state. Correct?
Yeah, I think the it's connected. The United States with Israel. If not the United States, there would never be a state of Israel. And now both. The existence of the state of Israel as a Jewish state is a lot of depending on the existence of the U.S. So you can see both on very other
being. So you see that as the U.S. weakens, so does Israel, is what you're saying.
Two other kind of directions, but it's...
Well, I'm not so sure that that's 100% true. I believe that Israel, in forging new alliances with other emerging superpowers such as India, could actually survive, even if, God forbid, the U.S. were to slip into a state of being like a kind of a Spain or Portugal.
I think the state of Israel is something like Ellis Island, when the immigrants used to arrive over here, and they thought that Ellis Island, this is America.
I don't know. I don't want to spend too much time on Israel. Truthfully, I'm more interested in what's going on in America. I think that if America goes, the world goes. And I believe that with Obama in the White House, we're going and going, but we're not gone yet. If China knows something that the liberals don't know, that's very, very telling. If his own party votes against him today, which they did on Libya, and said, wait a minute, Jackson, you just violated the Constitution by dragging us into a war that you have no authority to do without our vote. How can there's been no discussion about Libya? We actually know more than the State Department does. You know, three women dragged us into the war with Libya. It was Hillary Clinton and two of the other women dragged us into a war against Gaddafi. No one is supporting Gaddafi and saying he's a great human being. But take a look at who's waiting in the wings. Throughout the entire arc where the so-called Arab Spring is occurring, there is the Muslim Brotherhood emerging. Let me say it again in case you missed that succinct statement. Throughout the entire arc where the Arab Spring is allegedly occurring, the Muslim Brotherhood is emerging. I told you this was happening when this started. And I told you the dirty money that was coming in and funding it. And I told you the stupid minds that were behind it. It was Brzezinski. It was the Carter School of Stupidity. The same SOBs who destroyed the Shah of Iran, thinking that they would usher in democracy if they got rid of the Shah of Iran. Guess what came to Iran? They made the country safe for the return of the worst scourge that the world has ever seen. Khomeini comes back from exile in Paris, and he brings the disease of radical Islam to Iran, and the people have been living in a state of terror ever since Carter did that to them. So these psychotics under Carter, Brzezinski et al., do the same thing now across the entire arc of North Africa into Egypt. And we see this. We see this. But what does Hillary Clinton do? What does Obama do? 2 weeks ago, Obama forgave $1 billion in aid to Egypt. You hear a thing like this? Presto, with $1 billion, no congressional discussion, no debate, which says, now, wait a minute, maybe it isn't a good idea, because perhaps we're going to see something worse emerge than Mubarak. After all, Mubarak was our best friend. He kept these these psychotics under control for 30 years. So now you see him gone, and who's emerging? The people he threw out of power, the people he kept out of power. That's your idea of what you want in Egypt, the most populous Muslim nation on earth? We the people see this, but there was no discussion in Congress. You open the Daily News this afternoon, you hear what the headline is? Scarlett Johansson leaves psycho. Scarlett Johansson leaves the psycho actor who can't write an entire paragraph because he's so stoned all of the time. A-Rod and Cameron Diaz call it Splitsville. That's the headline in the New York News. The moment that Isaiah Thomas came back, Donnie Walsh was doomed as a Nick. Now, how can a country survive when people are this stupid, is the question. That they would read such trash as this, which poses as journalism. And liberal journalism, no less. Every day, if they can, they bash a conservative in the Daily News. How can a country survive with such pathetic stories as the lead? Did you see one story in the Daily News that says Congress, including Democrats, reject Obama on Libya? Would have been a screaming headline in my day. Prez overruled on Libya. Okay, that would have been the headline. Not anymore, because they're in his pocket. That's all. It's that simple. And is Shaq heading to ESPN? That, who reads that newspaper? Okay, let's go back to the callers. Sacramento, Petri, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. So I was calling about yesterday's subject. You were talking about what would be your future job, your next job. And I was thinking that you can open up a jazz club in the North Beach.
Oh, wait, I never said what would be my future job. Number one, what I said was, what should I do in addition to talk radio?
Okay, sorry, I got that little jumbled up there, but I mean, wouldn't that be great? Open up a jazz club. You can host the band. You can have a little sidekick talk and kind of...
Yeah, it actually would be a lot of fun. It's something to think about. Are there any good jazz musicians left in America?
Oh, good point. But do we have to limit it to jazz? You know,
I don't know. We could have disco, just play music from the great era of jazz. You know, that would be fun. And great era of rock and roll. I don't know. It's a lot of things could be done, but I don't want a restaurant. The people I know in the business tell me it's a very, very difficult business, truthfully. And I really am not the kind of guy to sit and watch a cash register and worry about serving people. It's a very, any cash business is a murderous business to run. Secondly, my books are global. My books before I was in radio were in 16 languages, my health books. You got to understand something. I wrote a book in 1982 called Maximum Immunity, published by Houghton Mifflin in Boston, that was in 6 languages. My books are translated in many languages. And so to go from that to running a nightclub, I don't know. You know, wouldn't you say that that's kind of a step down? But okay, but on the other hand, it's a step up in terms of humanity and dealing with people. That's what we're talking about. Okay? All right. Picasso, we're going to talk about for a minute. Florida, Paul, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
And Dr. Savage, I was just calling. I had heard the earlier caller talking about Picasso, and I want
right.
to explain. I've got an art history background, and
yes.
you see these pictures of him where he's got like 2 noses on a woman. That's because he was experimenting with perspective, and so he might have 2 different perspectives, like a profile and a frontal view of the same model.
Okay, but stop right there. Then why didn't he pick one and then run with that one? Why did he leave 2 on the same painting?
Because he was experimenting in a time when the question was, what is art? Because you had cubism, surrealism, Dada, all of that, and the artists in that post-impressionist era were questioning, what is art? So, you know, in that context, he didn't need to choose a profile or a frontal view of a model. He could combine them.
And also, you could follow that up by saying most of us see things in multiple perspectives at the same time anyway. In other words, if we're looking at a person, we don't see a single image of that person. We see a multi-layered personality in front of us, don't we? In other words, especially if we know the person, we're analyzing them, that individual is saying, well, that's interesting. You know, she's got a nice face, but I remember when, or I wonder if. Correct? We're seeing multiple aspects of that human being in front of us. I would say that that's a reasonable analysis of Picasso's projections as well.
Exactly, and most of his models were girlfriends and mistresses and things like that, so he did know them. He had the multiple...
Oh, today he'd be arrested as a perv for what he did. The country has become so crazy that an artist that we know, Picasso, a great artist, would be shackled and done the perv walk in the Pierre Hotel.
Oh, in a minute.
In a minute, simply for using a model. They'd say, oh, you abused her. You exploited her. And he would say, but wait a minute, I paid her, and she was happy to live with me and have relations with me. No, you exploited her. She's going to get half of your estate. That's what happened today, the crazy world that we've evolved into because of the puritanism that's raging in the society. You talk about multiple perspectives. Right now, America is running on several different tracks at once, but on a moral level, we're running on two distinct tracks. One is the most prurient insanity I've ever seen, where these children go to raves with 5,000 people in a nightclub. They're all stoned on a drug. They lift their top up at the moment's notice. They have sex with anybody. And at the same time, yep, crazed society, insanity. WTNT, Washington, D.C., Kelly, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. How about in the future you could open perhaps a classical education school for children, because you're classically educated, and maybe even promote the arts towards conservative and traditional values?
That is so nice to hear your voice in the midst of all of this confusion. That's a very beautiful idea. I doubt very much that I could open a school, you know. That's a very complex thing to do. I was considering a Savage Conservative Scholarship Program, and I still am seriously considering it, where I put together a panel of people and we review things that are written by college students, and we give, you know, like $10,000 scholarships to the winners, 10 a year, sure, to help them with their tuition or whatever. I thought that would be a way to do it, right?
Sure, that would be terrific because, I mean, to get the future generations to actually think somewhat like you do, even just a smidgen like you do, the way to get them is to get the young minds. And, you know, you have
to... How do you take a young mind that has been raised in American schools and have them even think at all? How do you get them to even think?
Well,
I don't think they know. I don't believe they know how to think. They're told to groupthink. They're taught never to think for themselves, even though the big lie in the schools is that we're teaching you to do your own thing, but in fact, they're teaching them to do the teacher's thing. They're teaching them to do it takes a village thing. They're not teaching them to do their own thing at all. It's all brainwashing.
That's right. I mean, no gender, no race, no identity, no creed.
All right. Wait, let's start with no sexual identity, because that's considered some kind of obic, some phobic of some kind if you have a sexual identity. Okay, no national identity, because that's considered nativist to the psychopaths. And now let's go down the list. Even family is looked upon with disdain. A family of a mother and father is now spit upon by the internationalists. You know that as well.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now how do you take a child who's at the age of 20 years old and sit him down and start with the basics? How do you teach him anything? You would need a man with the mind of an Aristotle to do something like that. I'll tell you how I would do it. You want to hear how I would do it? I'll make it very simple. If you gave me 20 people at the age of 20 who had been brainwashed in American schools and were told, okay, you want to teach them something about the real world and real humanity, how the most of the world looks at the world, not through the eyes of the psychopaths in the American educational system, I'd start with Plato's Republic. And I would read the classics like Plato's Republic, of course, an English translation, because he goes through, you know, what is the purpose of the state? What is the purpose of the warrior class? What is the purpose of the poet? You know, he wanted to kick the musicians out of his republic. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but another thing...
Oh, look, go and read Plato's Republic. You're in for a real treat. In Plato's Republic, the interlocutor says, and what of the musicians? And, of course, in the dialogue, he says, the musicians should be thrown out of the state, for they mislead the children. Thank you for the call. I would start with Hollywood. And what, Plato Savage, should be done with the psychopathic drug addicts of Hollywood? They should be deported to Siberia and give Siberia what they've always wanted, which is a film industry. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Let's take the callers right now. Mark in New York on WOR. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, a great honor to talk to you again. I'm looking at the website. It is fantastic. It reminds me of an old-style newspaper where news actually came and jumped off the page at you.
That's the MichaelSavage.com redesign. Took us over 6 months. Today is the launch date. I think the pictures are stupendous. Our lead story is a picture of the president of China, behind which is our president, and then a whole phalanx of Chinese soldiers with fixed bayonets. Headline is, China has divested 97% of holdings in U.S. Treasury bills. That's a stunning story. Came out from CNS News today, and we linked it up. It's amazing what's going on. Mark, do you generally go to MichaelSavage.com every day?
I have to confess, I haven't gone there in a while, and now that I see that, you know, you refresh this, it puts to rest all the rumors that things go stale, because every time someone says that you might be a little stale or a little behind the times, you whack us with this, and this is absolutely fantastic. Knock me off my seat. I'm paging through it. It's fantastic.
Well, I'm glad you like the Savage newspaper, because actually, when you think about it, what is a website like this other than a newspaper? And you know that my circulation of over 4 million a month on, I think, uniques is bigger than most local newspapers? Do you realize that? I have no idea what I've created here with the help of WorldNet Daily. I've created the equivalent of a great national newspaper, which is amazing. Sacramento, Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, Dr. Savage, before the break, you had a caller who suggested opening up schools. I agree that'd be very difficult, but pretty easy to set up a Savage re-education camp, wouldn't you think?
In summer camp, calling it the Savage Re-Education Summer Camp, that would be very funny.
Well, think about it. You have a high school senior, before he goes and gets, you know, completely brainwashed into college, you know, you set him straight.
That would be really funny. Where they send their high school graduate to the Savage Summer Camp, the re-education camp, and you play it off. That would be great. And we start by reading Plato's Republic, and they have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and chop wood and do chores before they go off to college, where they become nothing but pot-smoking alcoholics. Interesting. Yeah, they come out 4 years, 5 years after. They're fit for nothing. They wind up back in their mother's house with a hairnet. The guy winds up at 26 years old on Obamacare. What do you think Hillary and Nancy Pelosi were boasting last year about? Yes, we've extended medical benefits to age 26 so the children can find themselves. Have you ever heard anything like this in your life? Children could find themselves. You hear this? A child at 26. You call that a child? 25 years old is a child? You must be joking. I've been working since I'm 5 years old. Kevin in Ohio, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, sir?
Yes, good. What's up?
I think you should start a church. I think that'd be good. Anytime people have hope, and I think you're a good speaker, and I think people will listen to you. I've been in pain all my life with arthritis, and I worked all my life. And one of the things
But how would you come to such a church of all faiths if you live in Ohio and I would have it here in the San Francisco area? I would have to broadcast while I did the church. It would have to be broadcast out to the world, either on radio or on a webcam. So that's another way to do it. See, but then I'm going to get into this evangelical church or messianic, rather, religious thing, and I got to be very, very careful. I don't want to wind up marrying 30,000 people at once and wearing white robes and having 17 Rolls Royces. Believe me, that's not where I want to go, and I know it'll happen. I can make things happen. I could do that. I can move mountains. Hey, I could buy an island and have 10,000 people say, Michael, I'll give you my life savings. Please, save us. Let's go create a new Atlantis. I don't want to do that. Don't you understand? I got to be very careful.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
today the fact is Obama gives a speech saying that the American industry is back. We know it's a lie because the majority of jobs Obama has created, other than government, come with name tags, hairnets, and funny hats, rather than the high wages, great benefits, and long-term security that he gives to his cronies with federal jobs. Yesterday on the Savage Nation, we talked about Greece and how it's a basket case that was bailed out once and wants to be bailed out again. Well, what you don't know about Greece, you're about to learn. You want to hear it? Crime, crime, crime. Crime casts long shadow over Athens. Once considered one of Europe's safest capitals, Greece's debt crisis, shrinking economy, and surging unemployment and illegal aliens have transformed Athens into a city of fear. They tell a story of a Greek man, Manolis Kandaris, his wife, who was in labor, and he wanted to get her to a hospital. So he reached for the car keys, fetched the video camera, and dashed out to get his old Citroën running. He never made it. As he sprinted to his car, illegal alien muggers attacked him about a block from his apartment. And when he resisted their attempts to wrench the camera from him, the 44-year-old pharmaceuticals executive was stabbed to death. His wife found him lying in a pool of blood as she hobbled to the car with the help of her mother. She was taken to a maternity ward. Her husband was taken to the morgue. Long prided as one of Europe's safest capitals, Athens, Athens is cowering in the shadow of harrowing crimes and lawless rampages. Within 24 hours of the Kandaris killing, a 21-year-old man from Bangladesh was stabbed to death in what police suspect was a revenge killing. In other words, the Greek was killed by a Bangladeshi, okay? You got the picture? The following day, mobs of nationalists in Greece ran through the center of Athens, beating up scores of illegal immigrants. 3 days later, masked youths enraged by a police beating, firebombed a precinct in downtown Athens. It never used to be this way, said Ioannis Makris, president of the Athens Police Union. So what's going on? Greek society as a whole is at a breaking point. Things are going from bad to worse, and crime is booming. They say Greece, Athens particularly, is starting to look like Beirut in the 1970s. Beirut in the 1970s. Bad economy, illegal aliens, incendiary. Also on the Savage Nation, Wienergate continues. Wiener's Democrat friends abandon the congressman. In fact, my new website, michaelsavage.com, it's taken us a year to revise it. I hope you love it. Take a look at it. You won't believe it. It's unbelievable. It's a whole new site, all new layout, but the lead story is Wiener hung out to dry. We do not have a picture of his Wiener. We have a picture of him. And it says his Democrat allies are quick to abandon the lawmaker. And that is because they backed away from him in the wake of him admitting he couldn't say for certitude that the photo was of his crotch. You hear this? What should Savage do in addition to radio? We've been talking about what I should do in my time off the air. What do you think I should do? Would you watch a cooking show with Dr. Savage? Should Michael Savage create an audio walking tour of San Francisco? Should Michael Savage give tours of the San Francisco Bay, meaning become a tour guide? I doubt it. Should Michael write and produce his own TV show? Of course I should. But guess what? You think they're going to hire a conservative in Hollywood? New website design at michaelsavage.com. Great redesign, easy to follow interface. And all the latest news from around the globe brought to you by michaelsavage.com. What do you think of Michael Savage's redesign? Have you set it as your homepage yet? What else would you like to see on my website? These are good questions. Also in the news, top story on the right is a picture of Mao Zedong. Listen to this headline. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. U.S. aids countries holding billions in treasury securities. You hear this? The U.S. is still providing foreign aid to countries it borrows billions from, including China. Underneath that, next story, top Serb who defended his nation is tried as a war criminal. Will they try Bush next? Your friends at the ACLU have attacked Christians and said if you pray at a graduation ceremony, you're going to prison. That's correct. I'm not making it up. Headline, ACLU attacks Christians, judge blocks prayer orders jail. Rep Wiener's office allegedly calls cops on New York reporter. Britain bans Savage, welcomes Castroite butchers. Believe me, if you want to sign a petition, it's on the right side. You can find it now. Also on the, and a petition to get me not banned in Britain, you know what I'm saying? Hopes fade for peaceful Arab transition to democracy. Yeah, right. Wiener's unflappable wife finally gets flapped. Jailed Russian tycoon testifies. Pakistani who exposed al-Qaeda found slain, tortured and slain, slain and tortured. Illegal immigrant charged in officer's death also was an MS-13. Bring more of them in. Probe launched into missing pets at L.A. animal shelter. NATO extends Libya operations to September. Muslim cleric, number one to the Hitler of Iran, says kill Jewish children is blessed by Allah. And P.S., suicide bombings are a Muslim duty. Is this a religion? I'm asking you, with this kind of interpretation, is that a religion? Take a look at the picture of the Russian mob, which they say is eclipsing the Italian mafia in South Florida. We got this from the Miami Herald. It's unbelievable. You never saw a picture like this. Makes the Sopranos look like choir boys. Rare Marilyn Monroe photos released. Really beautiful pictures on my website. Don't miss the Savage Service Dogs. We sponsor service dogs for disabled veterans. Maybe we should sponsor service dogs for disabled liberals. When I say disabled, I mean they're all mentally disabled. Maybe we can get them dogs to talk sense into their head. The most beautiful cars of Le Mans. Take a look at some of these gorgeous cars like the 250 GT Ferrari. Chinese cook obsessed with Jewish coins. It's an interesting story. Fed Reserve flies rainbow flag. Are you not going to believe that picture? Finally, on the right side of Michael Savage, in South Africa's black townships, being gay can be fatal. It's an interesting story because under apartheid, gays were actually left alone and treated basically kindly. Finally, on the bottom of Michael Savage, the white shift out of Philadelphia. One man said, I like to park and I don't like gunshots. There's also a page two news on the Savage Nation. There's also Teddy's Corner, pictures of Teddy. There's also Savage's eye camera. There's also a link to my online store, to my legal defense fund. MichaelSavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, borders, language, culture. Right? All this and more on the Savage Nation today. So I'm on the way to the boat yesterday. I had a heck of a day. I actually was a normal man for one day in the last several years. In the morning, the normal man on Sunday went to a classic car show. Normally, I'm just on the computer grousing about the horrendous world I live in, the horrible liberalism is a mental disorder. Everywhere I turn, there's a disaster. So I go to a car show with an old acquaintance who's a mechanic. And I'm running into a new acquaintance with the dog Duke, who's on his way to Prague. And we just look at the cars. I tell you the truth, it is so relaxing looking at classic cars. There's no way to describe it. I can explain to you sociologically why men love beautiful machines. I can explain it, but I don't think I have to. Then in the afternoon, I went on the Potomac. It's hard to pronounce. The Potomac River. You have to think of the word tome. And I was on the boat, and a strange thing happened. I went with Mrs. S. On the boat, and within a few seconds, I wanted to leave before the gangway was lifted. The crowd, there was too many people. I generally go out on my boat alone. I'm a boater on the bay, but I usually go out alone with the dog, and I like to hear the water. I don't want to hear people. Okay, let's start with that. As far as catering, I usually don't have food on my boat. I take a roll. I take a slice of provolone cheese. I take a tomato. And when I go out in the bay, I cut the engine sometimes, and I cut the roll. I put in the cheese. I put in the tomato, and I throw it in the microwave. I make a grilled cheese. To me, it's one of the finest gourmet meals with no one talking around me. Nobody, not a word. I don't need alcohol. I don't need nothing. A cup of coffee and a grilled cheese with a dog is great. I get on the boat. I was curious to go on the boat. I wanted to see the FDR's floating White House. And I saw it. I went down the engine room. I went up to the pilot house. I wanted to leave already. It's not that the people were bad. They were very nice people, but there were too many people. I got a claustrophobia attack. So before the gangway was totally lifted, I said, let's get out of here. So it turned into like a comedy where she was off the boat. I was on the boat. They had to lift the thing. Then I lowered the thing. Then the captain said, Mike, you can hang out with us. So I spent the whole time on the boat up at the pilot house. And I really tell you, I had a really wonderful time on the boat. The lamb chops were superb. The caterer was fantastic. Violated my dietary protocols every step of the way. But I learned a lot about FDR's boat. You say, well, why should you? Oh, he was a communist. It was built in 1934 as a Coast Guard cutter called Electra. And she had a 20-millimeter gun on her. And then she was converted to the presidential yacht USS Potomac by FDR as a U.S. Navy vessel in 1936. She's now restored, and she's used basically as a they rent it out, you know, for cruises. It's a nonprofit organization. It was a fascinating scene for me for one reason. As a boater, one, to see such dedicated people who are dedicated to keeping this museum alive and it still functions, you number one. Number two, you see how simple the presidential yacht was on the inside. There's no woodwork to speak of. There's no paneling. There's no teak. It was austere. Compared to today's standards, the boat looks almost like a lifeboat, you know, on the inside. But yet it handles beautifully. It doesn't have stabilizers. She rolled a bit near the Golden Gate. I'm just sharing a little thing. She's 76 years old, and she's still cruising. That's all. That was number two. So now we can thank that and put the picture on the sign. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Go ahead, I like doo-wop. Go ahead.
I'll always want you.
All right, that'll work.
Because my heart is true. Come.
No, I'm too old for this. Turn it off already. I don't feel cheerful about it. I don't know. I don't feel focused today. I just feel very unfocused. I think it's my car. I'm having trouble with my car, and it's bothering me. I think I'm more connected to my car than I like to believe. Can you imagine having a car that's less than 3 years old, an expensive Mercedes? I drive an S600. About a couple of weeks ago, I came back from Florida, and the car, like the hydraulic fluid, it started to smell, and I couldn't turn the wheel. So they took the car, and it turns out that it blew a hydraulic line. All right, this happens in a car. It's three times already the car was brought in, and they allegedly used, steam cleaning. The car still stinks like burning rubber and is bothering me. I will not drive a car that smells of burning rubber. Now, to top it off, it comes back today. I'm about to sign off on it. A gouge in the right fender down to the metal, to bare metal. Can you believe this? Maybe that's what's upsetting me. I don't know. Maybe I'm more connected. Look, a man in the Middle East is connected to his camel. Isn't a man judged by his horse or his camel? Men related to their horses, to their camels, to their cars, to their planes, to their boats. I hate to admit it, that I probably am more connected to, how about the five Statons in the still of the night? Because if this keeps up, even five Statons are not going to save me today. And we'll play in the still of, we'll play in the still of the night. Our little bump and grind. That was a beautiful song in its day. Today, nothing. Kids can't even dance to this. They don't hold while they dance. They do individual dancing. The guy doesn't hold the girl anymore. They put on a show for each other. Two narcissists in the night on ecstasy. No, that's the whole thing. In other words, it's not male and woman, man and woman coming together at a dance. It's, if you notice it, it's the girl putting on a striptease type of a bump and grind, and the guy is standing there trying to imitate the girl is the new dancing. How about another one? I think I'm just going to do music for a little while. If you want to call about any news topic, you know the number, right? You know, one of my favorite ones out there is, why do I like this one? How about Sorry I Ran All the Way Home by the Impalas? I guess I like the idea that it was the Impala, because in 1958, there was a Chevy Impala with three two-barrel carburetors that was so beautiful. And there was a rock and roll singer from the neighborhood who became very famous. Today, he's nothing. He's still performing. I can't imagine he has much. What's his name? Could you play this one? Sorry I Ran All the Way Home, rock and roll. Okay, that's good. I am so glad that I was a late bloomer. What would I have done if I was an early bloomer and hit it big at 16 and was a burnout by 30? This way I struggled my entire life, suffered, walked on hot coals, and by the time you earn, you know, your mild acclaim and your fortune, it's too late, because at the end of the day, you don't even want to spend it. There's nothing you want. You're so burned out by life, there's nothing you want, truthfully, except a good meal and a night's sleep. Ah, but moving on. Natalie in Virginia, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mr. Savage, how are you doing? You mentioned at the age of 18 you started analyzing your dreams and your idle thoughts. And I'm 18 and I'm doing the same. And I was wondering what was the first step you took to put your millions of thoughts into action to, like, one day speak words so powerful they're being banned in other countries?
That's very interesting the way you put it. In other words, how did I marshal my thoughts to reach such a point of prominence that my thoughts are such a threat to an entire nation that they wouldn't permit me to enter the country? That's very interesting the way you put it. What you're saying is it's a badge of honor. This is, you got to understand what I have been is blacklisted. Everything the liberals talk about from the 1950s, McCarthyism, like it's still real to them. They're living like a king of England, like a king. They own airplanes, yachts, unlimited money, but they're all marching around like they personally lost a relative in the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire and that they were banned by Senator McCarthy, Congressman McCarthy. It's fraudulent. I'm the one who's blacklisted right now. I don't give a damn about communists in the 1950s who should have been banned, by the way. That wasn't freedom of speech. They espoused the overthrow of the United States of America and they plotted the overthrow of America. And every day you hear them, the boys from the shtetl of Brooklyn, talking about the 50s and the blacklist. I'm now the one who is blacklisted. And they're talking about people they don't even know. Why? It's all a shuck and a jive. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Andrew Klavan is an author who's written multiple bestsellers and screenplays. He's on the Savage Nation today to tell you how Hollywood has co-opted our culture through TV and movies. Andrew, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to be here.
Well, what are the real challenges that a conservative like you faces in Hollywood? Can you get any work?
They're pretty overwhelming, I think. If you're an outspoken conservative, if you're not flying under the radar, you're just going to face a lot of prejudice. You're going to face open blacklisting, although nobody will ever blacklist you to your face, but they will cut you out. But most importantly, I think what you face is what they call in the courtroom a kind of atmosphere of hostility. You walk into a room with an idea or a pitch or even a screenplay to sell that pitch, and as you sit around, it happens very often that the people that you have to sell this to will start talking and openly expressing very, very left-wing ideas. Ideas hostile toward America, ideas hostile toward any kind of conservative or Republican stance. And if you state your true feelings, you're going to find that that's a very hard sale to make. I'm somebody who always does state my true feelings, and I have had the sense that the atmosphere in the room is just soured the minute I do. So it's kind of that subtle thing that happens where, in order to be one of the gang, you're kind of urged to join in the general America bashing and Republican bashing or whatever else is going on.
How does liberal ideology work its way into every storyline?
It works its way in overt ways and in subtle ways. The overt ways are the fact that any time you see a heroic politician on screen, he's going to be the politician who supports the government program for sad-eyed children, you know, whatever that program is. Never mind the fact that the results of that program may be to devastate a community or a culture. That politician we know is a good guy because he supports, you know, government programs for sad-eyed children. Likewise, if a guy shows up and he has a Republican sticker on his door, I mean, you can watch the opening of a movie called Perfect Stranger if you want to see a perfect example. We know he's going to turn out to secretly be sleeping with little boys or something like that, something terrible like that. So those are the overt things that you see. And, of course, every movie that was made about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan was an anti-war movie, not one movie openly supporting it. But you also see subtle stuff, a kind of crazy way of rewriting the world where every criminal is really a rich white guy and any black guy who gets arrested by the police has been framed. Just kind of changing the way we know reality works. Women are just as strong as men. If a woman punches a man in the face, he goes rolling backside over tea kettle out the door instead of her hand breaking or something like that. So it's just a rewriting of reality to make it fit liberal paradigms.
you obviously find it more difficult to sell a script because it includes conservative ideology, correct?
There's no question about it. It just limits the number of people that you go to. I mean, you can get away nowadays with God. Before, there was a lot of hostility toward God, but there's been a lot of inroads made to that. If I put forward a military scenario where the military is just completely in the right, I don't even know if you could get a Muslim villain, an Islamo-fascist villain on screen at this point. So yes, definitely. And people will definitely come out and attack anything that they think is openly conservative. Just to give an example, Joel Cernow's latest film on the Kennedys, the miniseries on the Kennedys, was basically chased off the air at his first place of sale, which I believe was A&E, and he was forced to find another place for it. And that was pure blacklisting. That was pure pressure. So definitely, if you come up above ground as a conservative, you are going to find yourself in hostile territory.
Are you pressured by executives in Hollywood who rewrite your script and tell you to include liberal ideology into your film scripts?
Yes, it's more than that, though. I mean, it really is the fact that if you write a script that is openly liberal, openly anti the military, openly anti America, you're going to win awards. You're going to get invited to cocktail parties. Even if the film doesn't make money, your career is going to step forward. If you write a script that is pro America, that is pro liberty, that is against big government, you're just not going to sell it. And if you do, you're going to get hammered by the critics. So it's not that subtle. It's really out there.
How difficult is it to get work in Hollywood when producers know that you're not a left wing wacko?
I mean, listen, I think it's the right thing to do because a lot of people are afraid of losing their jobs, and a lot of people have lost their jobs when their politics have become clear. But it's kind of sad that you can walk into any office in L.A. and announce that, you know, you think Israel should be destroyed and find a friend. But if you should come out and say that you think America is the greatest country on earth, you have to do that in a secret meeting. You know, and there are these meetings where conservatives get together and they admit kind of in whispers. They're like Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. You know, they kind of admit in whispers who they are and that they love their country. And I think that's very sad that it has to be that way.
Have you gotten into any verbal disputes on sets because of politics that were a flare up?
I scrupulously tell people what I believe. I never let people assume that I don't, that I believe what they do. But I'm always also scrupulously polite. It's just my way. And so I've never gotten into any kind of a screaming match. I do remember once, shortly after the invasion of Afghanistan, I remember doing a pitch that I thought was seriously the best pitch I'd ever done in my life, a pitch for a big action story. And at the end of it, the guy looked at me and he said, "Do you think we could make the villain the military?" You know? And I was so startled, I kind of blurted out, "No one wants to see that now. Our military is in the field." And I have never been escorted out of a room as quickly as that in my entire career. I mean, I really felt it was like, don't let the door hit you on the way out. That's the most overt thing that has happened to me. Other than that, it's, I'm scrupulously polite. People don't tend to yell at me or anything like that. So I haven't had any kind of shouting matches.
Well, what can conservatives do to rescue TV and the rest of the entertainment media?
Well, I people have different opinions about this. My opinion is very simple. I think we have to be outspoken, brash, overt. We have to complain. We have to make noise. We have to point out in any venue we can when something is absurdly liberal. And by the way, I don't think there shouldn't be any liberal movies. I think there should be plenty of liberal movies. I just think it should be balanced. There should also be conservative movies. So what I think we should be constantly pointing out is the imbalance, the blacklist, the unfairness, and the kind of clubbiness of liberals in Hollywood. There are other people who think we should keep our heads down and kind of insinuate ourselves into the business. I think that's a mistake. I think we need to be brave and brash because we're right and they're wrong, and we ought to just be able to say that.
Do you actually think Hollywood execs are just playing to what America wants to see or what they want America to see?
You know, I can prove the point right now. There must have been 15 films made against the Iraq War. Every single one of them bombed. Every single one of them went down the drain. It didn't stop them from making them. It didn't stop them from getting good reviews. And by the way, I saw a lot of them because I was writing about them, and they were terrible. It didn't stop them from getting good reviews. It didn't stop them from getting nominated for awards. But American Carol, which, you know, unfortunately didn't come out very well and didn't do a lot of business, everybody immediately said, oh, well, that's the end of conservative films. But the fact is, you know, if you look at films like The Dark Knight, Toy Story 3, films that really do have conservative messages built into excellent stories, those are the most successful films Hollywood makes. So no, it's an overt attempt to strangle a point of view. And the thing, the way that it works is that conservative stories have to come with a mask on, a Batman mask or a Toy Story mask. Whereas liberal stories, no matter how badly they bomb, can be openly made. You can openly make a story in which the villain is a conservative, a Republican, and the good guy is a liberal Democrat, no matter how much money it makes or doesn't make. You can't make the opposite story. And so that's the problem. It's not a business thing at all. If it were a business thing, they would have stopped making those anti-war films and started making films supporting the troops, which would have made a lot of money, as we saw when they actually made a film that wasn't pro-war, but was just pro the troops on HBO that was called Taking Chance. It was one of HBO's biggest successes, and it was universally panned by the critics for being too patriotic.
Andrew Klavan, thank you for coming on The Savage Nation.
Thanks a lot. Now, you know, I hope you take a look at my series of thriller novels for young adults called The Homelanders. They feature a patriotic teenager who's battling jihadists. That's not something you see very much. It has been optioned for film by Summit Pictures, Summit Entertainment, so hopefully it'll get to the screen. But take a look at the novels, because I think you'll find them really exciting.
I'll be right back. It's The Savage Nation.
Savage.
It's a funny thing, you know, that whenever I run into people in their various walks of life, if I have a chat with them, they say to me, I didn't read Trickle Up Poverty yet, but I read Psychological Nudity. I love the story about Dead Man's Pants. That really had a resonator with people, that when I wore Dead Man's Pants, keep it up, I'll be wearing them again. Ah, ha, ha, ha. One day I will. I mean, one day it's true. We all wear Dead Man's Pants one. Oh, what a horrible thought. Every movie now, I dread the burial scenes. Every movie, I don't like the burial scenes. You don't know. And I don't know anybody in my generation who knows where they're... Like when my father came over from Europe, he knew where he was going to be buried, God bless him. The day he got here as a young kid, there was like a burial society from Eastern Europe. I don't know how they lived with it. It was the same when I lived in Hawaii. I mean, a lot of the young Japanese people that we knew as friends, they knew where they were going to be buried the day they got married. They had a burial plot. I thought it was shocking. I was just setting out on life. They already knew where they were going to be dead and buried. They were like 21 years old. You know? So I don't know anyone of my generation, and we're all like already, no one knows whether they want to be cremated, buried, put in the mausoleum. They don't know what they want. No one knows. They don't know what to be done with the remains. They don't believe in anything, most people. So they don't care what's done with their body at the end of the day. They think that they're just, 93 cents worth of minerals, and you're not even worth 93 cents anymore. Even with inflation, you're worth less than 93 cents. A chicken has more value than you do. And speaking of that, by the way, did you read that Mark Zuckerberg? You know Zuckerberg, the kid who owns Facebook? This is crazy. I think he's nuts. He said he only eats what he kills now. I couldn't believe, I thought the story was a joke. Mark Zuckerberg owns Facebook, okay? Everyone knows who Mark Zuckerberg is. The president even paid homage to him because Obama's a product to some extent of Facebook and the kind of gossip that goes on these websites. And so he says he only eats what he kills. And he boasts that he killed a chicken. Him and his girlfriend killed a chicken. They cut a sheep's throat. And they killed a pig with he killed a pig with his own hands. I think the guy's insane, personally, by what I'm reading. Not that you don't go. I mean, I know people hunt, okay? I know people do this for a living. But for a Harvard guy with like little white fingers who made a fortune with Facebook to cut a pig's throat and enjoy this? Does this make sense to you? I'm asking you a simple question. Now I can see already another dead zone. All right, move on. Let's see the music I want to hear. Let's see. What do you want to hear? Lonely Boy by Paul Anka. I Ain't Got No Home by Clarence Frogman Henry. At the Hop by Danny Nutt Jr. Sincerely by the Moon Glows. Special Angel by Bobby Helms. Answer, none of those. Do You Want to Hear Whole Lot of Shaking Going On by Jerry Lee Lewis. Kansas City by Wilbert Harrison. Love is Strange by Mickey and Sylvia. No. Keep a Knockin' by Little Richard. That's cute. No. Heartbreak Hotel by Elvis. Chances Are by Johnny Mathis. Remember Johnny Mathis? God. How about In the Still of the Night by the Five Statins? That's dedicated to those of you taking Lipitor. Let's play the Five Statins singing In the Still of the Night. Nostalgia moment. Let me turn the clock back. The clock is spinning back. Not weeks, not months, not years, but decades. I take you back to the 1950s, when the chrome was thick and the women were straight. An America where the women were at home taking care of their children. They had not yet joined the workforce. They could drive, incidentally, and vote. It's, I don't think it was that. It wasn't Saudi Arabia. It's a Friday before Memorial Day, about the beginning of summer and what they're going to do that summer. In my case, I was going to work that summer like everything else. 53 weeks a year, work, school, school, work, school, school, work. But I looked forward to it. So I was about to go off to a job in order to earn my way, work my way through college in the Catskill Mountains of New York. They were known as the Catskill Mountains of New York in those days because they were the Catskill Mountains of New York in those days. And there were a whole slew of hotels that were up there. And it was the heyday of the Concord and Grossinger's and little known places up there. And people would go like lemmings in the summer. They'd take a 1 week vacation or two with the entire family. The mother, the father, the children, they would check into the hotels. And I was a lowly busboy, actually. At one point, I was a lifeguard. I'll tell you the life. Did I ever tell you the lifeguard story at the Riverview Hotel? No, I didn't tell you. That's another story. So I was a busboy, and there was a... Is anyone listening who knows Joe from... does anyone listening to the show? Because I got listeners in New York who worked in those hotels. Who they won't dare call the... Do you know Joe, Big Joe with the gullet? Anyone listening to the show know who I'm talking about? The freakazoid Joe with the gullet, the maitre d'. You got to understand what I'm talking about. This is very serious stuff. A lot of these guys went on in life and became absolute nothings. Cymbal shot. I suppose some of them went on in life and became doctors, lawyers, engineers. All of them became Democrats except me. I don't think there's one kid who passed through the Catskill Mountains as a worker who ever voted for a Republican because inherently they feared and hated America. They were raised, they may as well have been raised in a little village in Poland. For the life experiences they've had ever since the Catskill Mountains, they still vote en masse in a block vote. They still vote the way their grandfather did when he came over with the burial society notice to where he'd be buried once he died here in America. So anyway, as I was saying to you, those were 20-hour days. I'll never forget as long as I lived what I enjoyed it, by the way. And let me tell you something. If hard work killed you, I would have been dead 50 years ago. I know a lot of people who had money and this and that. You know what? They did nothing with their lives, and they amounted to nothing. And number two, they're already finished. They were finished at 40, 45. They had no reason to live. I worked in the mountains as a busboy. You want to hear a typical day? I didn't need the government to give me a grant to go to college. A, there were no government grants. That's number one. And number two, we knew if you wanted to go to college, you had to work two jobs. That's all. Those of you who are immigrants and expect Big Daddy to give you a grant to go to college, why don't you stand up like a man and send yourself through college? Go and take two jobs like I did. Work your way through college. Don't ask Big Daddy to give you something. Don't start screaming about racism. Okay, I'll tell you about racism someday if you want to hear about it. We'd get up about 5 in the morning after going to sleep about 2 in the morning. We went to sleep 2 in the morning because we were partying after we got through working at midnight. So if you're young, you still want to have a good time, right? So let's say you got off duty at 12 from the midnight supper because all of the fat people who were developing atherosclerosis, they needed to develop it as fast as they could. As often as they could, they stuffed themselves with the most horrendous food ever developed for the human being. The least nutritious food ever invented was served in the Catskill Mountains. Greasy, fatty, a vegetable was banished. If you saw a vegetable, it had to be cooked, stamped. It had to be steamed. Every nutrient had to be steamed out of it before it was served to any of the good people from New York City. They like large, large portions of lard associated with small amounts of protein on their plate in order to get their money's worth. So breakfast would begin early. Let's say you got in there at 6 o'clock in the morning. The first customer, remember what they're doing now. They're paying for the 7 days. They get 3 to 5 meals a day for free, and they're going to eat their way through the holiday, right? The first ones would arrive 7:30. These were usually the harder working guys. They got up early. They wanted to eat, so they ate whatever. But breakfast didn't end till 10:30. You had some people who were such SOBs, they come in at 10:29 just to keep you in the dining room past the 10:30 cutoff, and you'd be serving these SOBs till 11:30. Lunch, you had to be on duty at noon, so you didn't get a chance to run back and wash your face for 2 minutes. You were back already serving lunch and so forth and so on. So you had breakfast, lunch, dinner. Dinner ended around 9:30, 10, till you got out of the dining room. So then you had to come back at midnight for a midnight supper, which they got, God knows what, cream cheese and lox and strawberry shortcakes. Is it any wonder most of their sons became cardiologists? You understand how that worked? I mean, but anyway, it wasn't so bad. The truth is, it wasn't so bad. I wish to this day that you could understand the beauty of hard work.
Savage.